see everyone out this evening. There's so many visitors, but if you're visiting with us, we'd like you to know you're an honored guest. We invite you out anytime you can. Order of services this evening, the young men of the congregation will be handling that. The reading will be by Brother Landon from Acts 7, 39 through 50. First prayer by Brother Perrin Smith. And our closing prayer is by Brother Landon. Our song leaders, there's multiple song leaders. Eli is going to be our first song leader, and they'll all be over here on the wall. Presiding at the Lord's Supper will be myself and Perrin Smith. Speaking tonight, Derek Pemberton, Cam Pemberton, Jeb Holt, Caleb Black, and Ryan Black. And all of their topics will be from 1 Timothy 4:12. So if you want to prepare for that. There will be further announcements at the end of service. So if you would please be standing for the reading, the opening prayer, and the song of the
Acts 39 through 50. Whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt, saying to them, make us gods to go before us. As for the Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know who has become of him. And they had made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during 40 years in the wilderness, or house of Israel? You also took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Renphon, images which you have made to worship. And I will carry you away from beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he appointed and instructed Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David. He found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob, but Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things?
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you for letting us all come here safely to worship you. Please help the word that is taught today that we can use in everyday lives. Please help that we can always strive to live like you. Thank you for giving us the Bible that we can grow in it and we can learn it using our everyday lives. Please help that we can always remember that you're in control. Thank you for letting your son die on the cross for our sins. Please deliver us from sin.
Amen.
Let God of my salvation be exalted.
Offering number 19, sanctuary. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Those here this evening that need to partake of the Lord's Supper. Bow with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time thanking you for the bread, which to us as Christians represents your Son's body that was shed for our sins. Pray that those that partake this hour partake in a willing manner unto thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Brother Perrin, give thanks for the cup.
Dear God, thank you for this cup, the fruit of the vine that you've given us. Please help that people that are taking it can remember that this is your blood that you gave for us, that you shed on the cross. Please help that we can take this and use it and pass it on.
This concludes the Lord's Supper. There are those that wish to give this hour.
Number 680. We sing the first and third verse of this song. Earthy will.
Shall see me and rejoice because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant.
Hi. If you would, please open your Bibles up to 1 Timothy 4, chapter 12. I'm going to read this scripture. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and purity. Tonight I'm going to be able to talk about speech. I would like to make 3 points about speech. Influence, tone, and persuasion. We influence men, women, and children every day in many ways. Someone can look up to you. A child or person can follow in your example. You could be just a parent, or you could be somebody's friend. Your friends, neighbors, coworkers can be influenced. Some just will try to talk like you or try to act like you because, you know, some feel excluded and they just want to fit in. And that's a kind of a big part. Is when someone is excluded and they just want to fit in with everybody, they start acting like other people. And so when someone like that starts acting like you, that's also a big influence on somebody. But like I said, they just want to be accepted. And I want to start off with now tone. And I said, this is saying how you talk. How you act, how your body language is, basically. I said, we need to have good tone. If someone were to meet you somewhere in public and you looked like a Scrooge, like if you were mad, upset, angry, just looked very gloomy, do you think that person would want to talk to you? Do you think that person would try to have a conversation with you? We want to look and sound like someone who's eager to listen and ready to speak with someone struggling. You could probably help someone with life issues, help them find Jesus. But if you can't show good and positive kind of a body tone and body language and good tone, like if you want to talk to them, how do you expect them to come and talk to you? And like I said, you know, How do you expect people to come and ask you about Jesus? You're not very happy or anything like that. My last one is persuasion. Persuasion can simply be used to pull people in by using Jesus. Tell what all he has done for them. They probably don't know. They probably do know. You know, there's a lot of people out in the world that, you know, there have a lot of different connections to religion. I said, you can persuade them with Jesus. Tell them the wonderful story of Jesus so they can be saved. Some will reject what you'll be giving them. Some are brought up different than we are, like music and just music and like they do in many different denominations, is that they grow up and they have different ways of doing things. You know, like some make the Lord's Supper into a common meal, or they have music. Some have like sports facilities and stuff like that that we usually don't see here. But some will reject you, but that doesn't mean you aren't a good Christian, and that you need to keep striving to be like Jesus. Thank you.
Good evening. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about conduct. To start, we need to know what the word conduct means. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says that conduct means the way that a person behaves in a particular place or situation, or the way something is managed or directed. How does the Bible say we must conduct ourselves? If you look over in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, Philippians 1, verse 27. It reads, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, you are with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." Here it says, God wants us to conduct ourselves in such a way worthy of the gospel in Christ. In Philippians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, my bad. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 17, it says, "So this I say, and stand and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as Gentiles, also walk in the fullness of their mind." To understand that every believer is called to the same high standards of conduct worthy of their honored position in Christ. True believers are to walk the talk and bind that belief with a Christian moral conduct to God's glory. Believers in Christ speak the truth, seek out reconciliation, and share what they receive. While the world dies for falsehood, anger, and stealing in one form or another. It should be no surprise that this world is plagued with everlasting hatred and animosity among nations, races, and even religions. God's plan in Christ is to bring every believer's moral conduct in line with the high position in Christ to which he has called the person. And this means living out the Christian life here and now, no matter what the stress. God has called every believer to the same high standard of conduct in Christ. He has given us the Holy Spirit, although at times he is grieved by our misconduct. So I would like to say thank you for your attention and hope what I've said here tonight is true. Thank you.
Tonight I would like to talk about how us as young men can be examples of love. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. It reads, "Let no one look down on you, on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." So yeah, to fully understand what we mean by being an example in love, we need to know what an example is. So an example is a pattern by which someone is to follow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul was being an example to the Corinthians by saying, "Be imitators of me, just as I am also of Christ." So, since we are an example, we need to know who we need to be an example for. It says in the verse that we are to be examples for believers. So we all have responsibilities towards one another, and us as young men especially have these responsibilities. So I chose that we are supposed to be examples in love. Love in this situation refers to a Greek word for love that is agape love. Agape love is a choice and is a love that always does what is right. Does. This is an action. So agape is not just a feeling, it is an action. So some examples of agape love, God would be one. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It says in there that he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't just feel like he loved us. He gave his son. He made an action. Also Christ. If you go to John chapter 15, verse 13. It says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. This verse says, lay down. This is also an action, which is what Christ did. So who should we love? All of us should love God. John chapter 14, verse 15, it tells us how to love him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if we love God, our action as agape love is to keep his commandments. Us as young people also have to obey our parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. So, in this thing, it says, obey your parents. Obedience, which is doing what you are told to do by your parents. And then, honor your father and mother is in the second part of this. So, honor is showing respect and having the right attitude whenever you do these things. Another group of people that we should show love to is our brother, with forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. And Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So we're supposed to forgive our brothers. Also, we're supposed to provide for their needs. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Again, that's 1 John chapter 3, 16 through 18. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brother. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how is the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So this is saying that if we have something, we should be able to provide for others that need it. Another group of people that we should show love to is our friends and our neighbors and anyone that we know. So in general, it's just all men. So this is how us as young men can be an example of love.
Number 70, you need something.
Reaches down. Continuing on the topics that we've already talked about, I'll be talking about faith. First, let's turn over to Hebrews 11. As some have called this as the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. We'll start off in Hebrews 11, 1, and we'll read the first couple verses there. Now, faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, you go down a few verses here to verse 8 here. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he had received as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promises as in a foreign country, dwelling in his tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, faith. What is faith? Faith is having a confidence in God. Now, how do you show your faith? You show your faith by being loyal and by being obedient to God. We read in Hebrews 11, 8 there, we read about Abraham here. Actually, let's turn over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, this is where we'll see the story that they talked about in Hebrews 11 here. Genesis chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 and 2 here. Now the Lord has said to Abram, Go out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. We'll go down to verse 4 here. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he had departed from the heaven. Here we see God telling Abraham to take all his things and move away to a far country that he is not living in now. He tells him he will show him the way. Now you must have a lot of faith just to be told to pick all your things up and just move off to a country that you have no idea where it's at. But God, like he said, he will show him the way. But it would still take a lot of faith just to get up and move. Now, as a Christian, our faith will be tested. Sticking with Abraham here, let's flip over to chapter 22. Here in Genesis chapter 22. Here, this is the story of when God came to Abraham. We'll read here in chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Here we see God calling out to Abraham and telling him to go to the region of Moriah, and there he is to sacrifice his only son Isaac. Again, that takes a lot of faith just to be God to tell you that you are to sacrifice your only son. Now, I don't have a son, but I would know that would take a lot of faith to be able to do that. So, ending out here, now, how can you show your faith to the world? You can do it by, one, reading your Bible and praying every day, and also to help others who are struggling, that show them the way and show them that God does care for them and that he will show them the way.
Okay, just to recap a little bit, as we are going through the topics brought to us in 1 Timothy 4, in verse 12, Paul is encouraging Timothy not to let anyone despise him for his youth. He says, but set the believers an example in speech. And Ron brought to us that it's not only important that we communicate with others, but it's important, very important, how we communicate with others as far as our body language and the way we sound with others. Cam brought to us about conduct, that a Christian's conduct is held at a higher standard than what the world are. God expects us to act better than what the others in the world act. Jeb told us on love that love in the Bible is not necessarily a feeling, but it promotes action, and that we're to love all men and we're to love God and obey Him. And then Derek talked to us about faith as having confidence in God, and he brought to us many examples of leaders in faith that we can look to their lives and imitate. And our final our final topic that we'll talk about tonight is that of purity. And when we think about purity, when we're referring to a substance, it means to be free of adulteration or contamination. So when you think of pure water, you think of water that has not been contaminated, water that is fit to drink, that it only has water in it. But in reference to our morality, purity is related to guiltless, blameless, or innocent behavior. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, we'll begin reading in verse 3. It says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So the psalmist here tells us that to be pure is to have a pure heart. And the Bible calls us to be pure and clean in all we think, say, and do. So what are some ways that we can keep our hearts pure? The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 9, asks, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" And the answer is by guarding it according to your word. So the devil is out to fill our minds with evil. The world is out to fill our minds with evil. We are bombarded every day from the television, from the radio, from our coworkers, sometimes our family, of stuff that goes into our mind that shouldn't be there. And as Mr. Keith often says when he's up here, is when you have garbage coming in, you're going to have garbage coming out. So it is very important for us to recognize the good and the bad thoughts and try to find out where they came from. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 tells us to take every thought captive to obey Christ. So if we can, in our lives, if we can examine ourselves, as we tell ourselves to a lot, and we can look at our bad behaviors, maybe some bad words that we use that we don't really think about saying, some of the ways that we speak to people, and we find out where that's coming from. Maybe it's a bad influence from a friend or a TV show that you've been watching that you picked up some bad habits from. If we can find out where those originate, it'd be a way to cleanse our hearts and remove the garbage, as Mr. Keith says, from entering our minds. God's Word can help us make decisions on what we watch, what we listen to, and what we participate in, and can even help us choose our friends. And that won't have a bad influence on us. You turn with me to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. 2 verse 22. It says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." That we're and following along with the, I brought that out for the youthful passions, because we as younger men tend to be looked down upon because we don't have the experience. But what we can gain, what we lose in experience, we can gain in knowledge from God's Word. And God's Word tells us to flee these things so that we can be a good example and show others out in the world what a pure heart is. And God will bless those whose hearts are pure. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Having a pure heart will help us get to our goal of heaven. And having a pure heart will also help us to see the good things in life. You turn with me to Titus chapter 1. And verse 15 says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. We don't want to be in the latter group, but those who are defiled and they're unbelieving. Because if you are an unbeliever, you have no hope. You have no good outlook on the world. But if you have a pure heart, you can see all the things that God has done for us and what he will do for us. And then we can have hope of heaven. We can have the hope of heaven. The invitation song will be on the board coming up now. And Chris gave us a lesson in 1 John and talking about walking in the light. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As Christians, we have the blessing of forgiveness of our sins if we repent. But if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you do not have a pure heart. And then there is no sacrifice for your sins and no hope of salvation. So let's all here tonight examine ourselves. If we're Christians here tonight, we need to examine ourselves, our lives, and to make sure that we are abiding by what God wants us to do and that we are committed to him no matter what may come our way. And if you're not a Christian tonight, you need to ask yourself why and realize that when you choose not to do something, it is still a decision. You are choosing either not to obey God or you are choosing to obey God. So if there's any way we can help you, you can come up to the front now as we stand and as we sing.
Treating him as if he did have strep. And Miss Christie is still not feeling well. Mr. Keith is with them. Marge or Mr. Jeff's mother as need to continue to keep her in your prayers. Miss Elizabeth Cash, Mr. Jeff's aunt, continue to remember that family. Mr. Tony is supposed to go home tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon, what I understood. And Miss Jill is at home. So they're both recovering, but we need to still remember them as well as the boys as they help their parents too. So is Mr. Lance. I see he's not out and he was in a lot of pain this morning. Meetings in the area, November 6th through the 9th at Wildersville at Expressway. Terry Francis will be holding that meeting. Group D will meet tonight, I assume. And you had to need to be added to the text message list. Melissa said to see her, and she'd fill you in on what all she needs. That's all the announcements I have. So if you will, please be standing, and Brother Landon will please close in prayer.
Please bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another beautiful day you come here and worship you. Thank you for all our many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We thank you for your Son to die on the cross for our sins, so we may have the hope in heaven with you. Please be with those who are sick physically and spiritually. Please be with those that are traveling and help them get to and from their destination safely. Please forgive us of our sins, for we know our sins separate us from you. Please go with us, Lord, as we depart from another, and keep us safe so we can see each other again. We ask of all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Good job. Good job. Good job.